Roni's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show. Our website is jrdonline.com. Our email is jeff.roni@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call us at 714-929-7857. We're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. So stay connected to us and on with the show. Test 1-2. This is Jeff Roni. And again, we have the privilege of inviting wonderful people into the Roni Zone. And if they steal the lamps this time, I'm really going to get upset. I have Brad and Travis from the Thin Ice Podcast. Welcome in, Brad and Travis. How are you guys?
How are you doing, Jeff? Thanks, man.
Now, it is an extreme privilege to have you guys on, because you guys, this is the first conference Skype call I've ever done. And it's a multi-state one, too.
So, we haven't been doing this very long, but we're veterans at that.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
All right. So, Brad, where are you from? And you can say France or wherever.
No, not from France. I'm from Gainesville, Georgia, which is about an hour north of Atlanta.
Okay. Gainesville, Georgia. Very nice. Travis, where are you from, sir?
Currently, I am from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I am originally a New Yorker.
Oh, okay. All right. So, how did you guys meet?
We met, I was thinking about that this morning because I figured this question would come up. Mm-hmm. We met in October of 1997, our freshman year at college at Tennessee Temple University. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Travis, my first memory of you is we're working security at an event our college called Judgment Day. It's one of these walk-through haunted houses that has a evangelical emphasis towards it.
Okay.
I completely
That's
forgot
my first
about
memory
that.
Of you, Travis.
Yeah, my first memory of you was when you were I don't know if that's the first one, but my friend and I
haircut?
Yeah, my friend and I had come down from New York to go to school, and the first memory that I have of him is some loudmouth Georgian with a buzz cut. He was
that
so mad about
was an
that
accident
haircut.
By the way.
I thought you were a redneck.
So tell me about this haircut. What stood out about it?
Well, it was redneck.
Okay.
It wasn't redneck. It was an accident. What happened was, this is my first haircut I've basically done on my own. You know, while I was still living at home, my mom would cut my hair. You know, we'd pull out a sheet in the living room, a little chair, and she just cut my hair. She always did it.
Gotcha.
I never had to pay for it. So the first time I had to go out in the marketplace and actually buy my own haircut, I just said, okay, give me a number one on the side and a number two on top,
okay.
Which was really short.
Yeah. Okay.
He fit every preconceived notion that I had of somebody from the South. And I think it was later that day that I had seen him. So he was still really upset about it. So my friend's rolling his eyes. He's like, man, I got stuck with this guy. He's just really bad attitude. You know, that type of stuff. It was funny.
Now,
he had to be there.
You bring up the sometimes they call them a hell house and different things like that. There was a documentary about them a few years back, and people like Bill Maher get upset about them. Okay, so because there's this slant edge thing, it's not just a haunted house, but there's like an evangelical edge to it and all this kind of stuff. But what people need to understand is evangelicals don't have a lot of creativity. And
agreed.
So you know, if they can create a haunted house and have fun with it, you know, they're all over that, you know, and then people get all upset like, no, you can't do that. What do you mean? There's no other type of creativity.
Dude, it's either on Halloween night, you either watch A Thief in the Night or you go to Judgment Day.
You know what? Hell is represented in both of those choices, you know. And I would rather go to the you know, haunted hell house or whatever. I mean, good Lord. Anyway. So, but yeah, you know, you guys are in the South. Now, you know, Travis is from New York. Okay. Get that. But the South is a different animal. Now, I'm from California, been here all my life. But kind of, the South is a very different type of an animal, and you know, you kind of tell me about a typical day that you guys go through. I mean, just like shopping and, I mean, you know, we'll kind of get to swords and skeet shooting in a little bit, but it's just, there's a different vibe in the South, isn't there?
Yeah. My day is pretty boring. I'm a tax accountant.
Okay.
So I sit in a cubicle all day, so I could do that in New York or do it in Georgia and it would feel the same, I guess. I'd say the weekends are the different parts. If we had to dissect our time between what it feels like to be in the North, what it be in the South, day to day, I don't know. Maybe Travis is more would be able to answer that question better because yeah, he's actually worked and then lived up in the North and living in the South, so maybe he can give us a difference between the two.
Well, from the differences that I've seen, you know, up north, the malls are open till 10 o'clock. You can go out and do something all night long if you wanted to. You can find something to do. From where I was in New York, God is just he's a name to just use in vain. They really don't even acknowledge him.
Okay.
Catholic churches, even some of the Baptist churches that you find are, you know, they swell up on Easter and Christmas and that's it.
Okay.
You know, as far as working, they had banks. My wife was working at a bank that was actually open on Sunday up there. There's just no acknowledgement like there is down here.
Okay. Yeah. There's two edges to that sword, I would think, because down here, Christianity is not so much a practice as it is a social system.
Yeah, exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And people don't draw the distinction between real Christianity and Bible Belt Christianity.
So I'm going to lean out on the thin ice and say that Christianity, the way you're describing, is almost like a culture.
Yes, absolutely.
It is.
Okay.
It is. And
right.
They, a lot of times, even people that, I mean, I don't know some of these people's heart,
yeah,
but some people that would actually, you know, they would never have anything to do with the church are callous to it because you can actually talk to them about it. They know exactly what you're going to say. They know how to talk just like you. And you're left going away thinking, you know, is the guy just callous to it or is he really saved or what? Yeah, I mean, you never really know if these people are Christians or if they're just talking the talk or what. I mean, it's that in itself right there. It's kind of scary because some of these people are so inoculated to it.
Right.
That I don't know if they know.
Now, okay, I shoot from the hip most of the time. So let's kind of go down this path. Now, there's a gentleman I know who loves Way of the Master and probably has a poster of Kirk Cameron on his wall and all this kind of stuff. Obviously, I believe there is a callousness because there's so much Christian TV on in North America, the church on every corner. You know, you hear in the news all these fallen leaders, da 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 da. So, I am, and I'm going to catch flack for this, but I am under the opinion, that people know about God in America. There's just, they know about God. It's on the money and all this kind of stuff. And I just don't think that walking up to somebody and challenging them on the Ten Commandments and saying, if you've lied, you're a liar and you're going to hell based on the Bible, what are you going to do about it? I don't know that that works. I don't know. Maybe. But, you know, I think that when you show love, it kind of goes through the defense mechanism like you're talking about. And if you really care about somebody, then I think they're going to open up and listen to what you have to say. What do you think?
I agree. And, you know, the gentleman, the pastor from the church in Chicago, I believe it is Willow Creek, wrote a book about that very topic. The book is called Just Walk Across the Room.
Hmm.
And this whole point of the book was have people over to your home, you know, get out in your community, know your neighbors. And then when the time comes to share the gospel, they'll listen.
Right.
Rather than just running up to somebody and, you know, handing them a track or holding up a sign that says John 3:16 or mm-hmm. at a sporting event, something like that.
Well, at the same time, I don't want to cut you off, Brad. Am I cutting you off?
No.
Okay. You know, originally I was brought up, you know, in the church, you know, you pound on the doors. There's only, you know, 500,000 people in the city. You got to knock on the door at least one time. You got to give them that option. And then as we started going to Tennessee Temple, you know, they were even more driven about that. And then I started to realize, you know, it's not all about we've got to get this done now. It is about the relationships. And I mean, this is still something that I struggle with when I think about it. I don't know that it's all one or the other. There are some medicines that you can – actually, let's do it this way. The police, they go ahead and they use pepper spray. Sometimes they use the tear gas that's mixed with it. You can wash somebody down with this pepper spray, and there are some people that won't even be fazed by it. Hmm. And then there are other people that they could walk through the cloud that just happened, you know, 20 minutes ago, and they could go through some pretty nasty reactions to it. One way doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
I have two friends that are, you know, a different thing about this. When I grew up, Christian rock was wrong. Mm-hmm. Anything that you did that was heavy beat or anything like that was wrong.
Yep.
The other thing is, you know, there's so many people talk down about that. I have a friend from school that I have gone to Africa with her, and I have seen her in many different situations, and I know she's a Christian. And she was actually – Her coming to Christ was all brought about by a friend she was talking to on the phone. She heard Third Day in the background, started asking him about it, and it was a song that had a lot of the gospel in it, and she actually was led to Christ through that. Hmm. Now, there's somebody else. The thing that just really irks me is when you have this guy, and Brad, you probably know who I'm talking about, on the Walnut Street Bridge in downtown Chattanooga, there'd be a guy that would scream. And he would just say, you know, you're going to hell, you're doing this, you're wearing this. He'd talk about people that were going by with tattoos. You got a tattoo on your body and you are defacing your body. Mm. And I think that's nothing but offensive.
Yeah.
But I actually have another friend that went up and said, you know, this guy's making an idiot of himself. He's got to have a reason for it. So we went up, talked to the guy, and he actually came to know Christ that way. Mm. So I don't know that there's one right way or a wrong way. I know the way that I prefer to do it is by relationship, like you guys were talking about. Mm. But at the same time, as much as I'd like to go and knock the other guys, you know, the evidence is there. It can happen. I think it does more to hurt the cause than help it. But you know what? God uses those situations.
Yeah,
that's true. We also have to face the possibility that the gospel is going to save who it's going to save. Mm. And all we have to do is share it. We don't have to have a great story. We don't have to be a dynamic speaker. You know, we don't have to draw crowds and such. We just present the gospel.
And it says his word's not going to return to him void.
Well, and free will is an interesting thing to kind of figure into what we're talking about here. It's a decision. So I'm going to weigh in one more thing and then we'll move on. Is I think there's something to be said of Jesus showing love to the woman that had the multitude of sins. I don't know that he preached to her. She probably heard about him, heard about what he was saying, what he was doing. She was so impressed by him loving her on and on and on that she came to him and fell at his feet. And I think in some instances, that's the key. When you just continue to love, and some people are just falling over right now saying, no, Jeff, you have to share the gospel and you have to give the four spiritual laws and you have to present them. I think if God is love, if the Bible's true and God is love, that there is a power in that. Now, yeah, it comes from a heart of you really want them to discover who God is. And I think God's a lot better than what a lot of people have heard. So, you know, that it's just, if we're coming up on the end run here on this planet, I think we need to find many, many different ways to share the gospel. And I think we've talked about many of them here. So very cool.
Well, if I could say one more thing, mm-hmm. I don't want to interrupt you.
Sure.
If that's okay.
No, that's fine.
You know, Brad and I had actually been in several classes together dealing with proselytizing and things like that. And the one thing that they would do, they would show these videos that were done by New Tribes Missions. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that was really interesting is they had found different accounts in different countries. They'd be on different continents and things like that, where it's sometimes it's not all about beating it into people's heads. It's sometimes these people really want to know. And mm-hmm. there were things where I remember one story very vividly where they were doing an interview with a guy that was, he was in the jungle somewhere. And he said, you know, there were so many bad things happening. I crawled to the highest tree in the forest and I screamed out to the great being that if he is really here, I want him to show me. And they were doing a timeline between the missionary that had come to go and live with these guys and when that happened. And it, they could base that down pretty much to the same time, pretty much the same day. The fact that some people want to know and they don't – I'm not trying to let people off the hook from doing what God tells them to do.
Right.
But at the same time, they can ask God and God can bring these people to them. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about us having to cram it down their throat.
Right. Well, and anything else I kind of heard of? Everybody cool?
Oh, we're good.
Okay. So I think that that the less people who don't agree with Christianity, the less they listen to Bill Maher and the more they listen to Christians, the better. Now, I would recommend that people that have television shows that they don't listen to them. Give me a call. Call me and we'll talk. We can talk about normal, average Christian people, and I think that'll be fine. Because the more you watch television, the more people get all amped up and crazy about it. And I understand that because we think they're crazy too. So
yeah, anyway. Let me say something about that. It's not the Bill Maher that scares me, or the active skeptics out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the History Channel.
Okay.
It's the people who run specials actively trying to deconstruct the historical Jesus
and
historical events. That's what scares me. It's not Harry Potter or any of this other stuff.
Right. I just want to say this, too, and what people forget, they remember the Da Vinci Code, but they forget the guy that found, quote-unquote, Jesus' tomb, and he was basically run out of town because his facts were doctored. Okay, mm-hmm. So he's like an Oliver Stone trying to do a special about Jesus' tomb. He was wrong, and he got more money to do another special. Who signed off on that?
This is the bones of Jesus.
Yeah. Who signed off on this? He got more money? Wow. Can I work for that thing? I'm going to go find, you know, Buddha and all these other things. I'm not trying to down anybody, but I'm just saying it's the same type of thing.
Misinformation pays, Jeff. It really does.
Wow. I mean, it's crazy. And here's the thing. One more thing about Bill Maher. I want him on my show, but I want him to leave the smug, smart aleck at home and just talk. I'm telling you, that's what I would do. Just can you bring it down to 5, Bill? Not 10. Come on. You know, let's not do the shtick. Let's just talk. But here's the thing. Bill Maher doesn't know if there's a God or not. But that doesn't mean I can't. That's right. The thing. Is he in charge? No. It's America. And it's just like the more people kind of align with him and say it's easier not to know. I mean, do you not know everything? Do you know anything? How can you live on this planet and kind of rest in the fact that you don't know something? I scientists got to know something to look into, you know, electricity, gravity. There's certain things that you have to really kind of look at and discover. And I, you know, yes, there are mysteries, but, you know, is everything a mystery? I just don't know that. And then to kind of push your beliefs on somebody else like Bill Maher does, that's kind of what they hate about Christians, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. It's interesting. And I'm telling you, you know, these anti-religions and these folks like this, they're doing the same thing we are. It's interesting that the atheists are now putting these posters in the town square when they don't like Christians putting stuff in the town square. They're playing by the same rules. It makes no sense.
I was at a conference with a fellow named Robbie Zacharias,
mm-hmm.
who is a Christian apologist.
Yep.
And during this conference, he mentioned that Richard Dawkins
right.
is making a tour of the U.S. baptizing college students out of their faith.
Okay.
Into atheism.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they're actively searching for followers, same way Christians are. You're absolutely right.
But I want
they want to tie our hands.
Yeah, but I want you to let's kind of really look at what you just said, though. He's going to college students.
Yep.
College students. Okay. That time in your life when you're wrestling with life's questions, of course you're going to go for it. Of course you're going to go for it. Okay.
Sure.
So if you're different, play different. Don't play by the same rules. Do not play the same game that you hate other people playing. Come on now. That's, you know, what's interesting is me, people that don't agree with me, I think they have full right to be here because this is America. This is a melting pot. But when I use a segment from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote, and start to kind of go through and sanitize America and pull off crosses off of the sides of roads and tops of hills, that's kind of overstepping bounds. That has nothing to do with the government. That has nothing to do with the Senate. That has nothing to do with, you know, anything. It's somebody putting a cross on a hill. I don't want all the atheists to go away. I don't want them to be put on a boat and put on an island away from me. Stay here. You have just as much of a right to say what you say as well as me. But leave what's here alone. And if you, you know, want to express yourself, go and express yourself. Go march and all this kind of stuff. But it's funny that no one is listening. And so now they have to do these little tricks. Like, we're going to put up this notice in the town square. I think it's funny. It's like, like no one's listening normally, so we're going to really step it up this year. It's weird.
So what you're telling me is this Buddha statue I have on my desk, I should cover that up before I invited the phone call into my home?
You can do whatever you want, man.
I don't have a Buddha statue.
Well, but I just think we'll end here. I think we've torqued up 80,000 people here. But the thing is we need to talk – and we need to listen, okay? Christians normally, in my opinion, are very close of the deal minded. And so all they want to do is say, you're a sinner, you need to get saved. Are you going to get saved right now? And people say no. Say, bye-bye then. See ya. Have no more time for you. And then they go to that scripture, shake the dust off your sandals and move on. That's not just the only part of the Bible. There's other parts too, where you got to love those around you, pray for the king, you know, da da da, all this kind of stuff. We're to be in this world, but not of it. But the in this world part, Christians are really lousy at sometimes. So I just okay, wow, soapbox moment. And I wanted this to be a fun show too. Okay,
that's okay. That's fun for you, fun for us.
Oh, Bill Maher just shut it off like 10 minutes ago. Okay, so tell me about this Thin Ice podcast. What in the world is that?
I think Brad McFadden from Two Blind Squirrels nailed it best when describing his show a couple years ago, and I think maybe we've kind of picked up his tradition. It's a friendship recorded live.
Okay.
I think it's the stuff that Travis and I find funny. It's the crazy stuff that happens to us. It's stories from our past. Some people love it. Some people hate it.
Okay.
What do you think, Trav?
Yeah, I think it's pretty close. And the thing, I don't know. There are some people that you can go around and they're very uptight about things and jokes that we can make. And at the same time, there's one thing to joke around and offend people. Mm-hmm. And there's another thing where you can just, you know, like you said before, you shoot from the hip, you're not meaning anything wrong. It may step on some people's toes, and that's why, you know, it's thin ice. You know, sometimes we joke about things that some people probably wouldn't socially, but we do.
Right.
And we really do breed awkwardness.
Yes, but that's not our being on thin ice, being edgy is not our mission.
No, it's not.
Sometimes it turns out that way, but we're not out there to offend or to see how close they can take the edge.
Well, I've got a cure for not having a problem.
Hi, ho, this is Kermit the Frog here, and you're listening to Ronin's Own Radio. Well, I guess he talks about radios or something like that. Yeah. Okay. Bye.
All right. That is part one of our interview with the host of the Thin Ice podcast. And part two is coming up next week, so be sure to stop back again and join us or subscribe. So see you next time. Here's just a quick reminder that if you want to continue to get these Ronin's Own Radio shows directly sent to either your Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, please visit subscribe.ronizone.com, and it's going to give you links and instructions of how to get subscribed and get connected to us so we can send you shows automatically. Thanks so much. Everything costs money, and we want to offer this to you. It's a support page, support.ronizone.com. There's two ways that we would ask that you would help support us. One is just a PayPal link, and you can donate any amount you'd like through PayPal. The other way is to buy products from our other links to affiliates that we offer on that page as well. We really appreciate it. Everything costs money, and we want to continue to keep these shows free, so we offer this to you. Please visit our support.ronizone.com page to help support us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
For the best in indie Christian music, as well as reviews, interviews, photos, and a whole lot more, head on over to jtindie.com. Yeah, it's not your mama's podcast.
Go to your room.
Just go to your room, man.
Just all anybody who's old enough, who's young enough to be my son, has no business listening to this show. Go to bed.
No, don't say that. Lose all our cool people.
That's true.
I would just be stuck with a bunch of old people like us.
Joel dorks. We just insulted. We just insulted everybody. Yes,
you're awesome.
Right, give me five.
Way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Two blind squirrels in the morning. People radio on demand. It's all right.
I'm Jack Ward.
And I'm Shannon Hilche.
Please join us in the Sonic Society as we delve into the very best new audio cinema the world has to offer.
Each week, we showcase a new audio drama that you may not have heard of, made by a growing group of new radio play enthusiasts.
We also offer interviews, tips on audio works, and a continuing serial.
So if you love full cast stories, and who doesn't, please join us each week at the Sonic Society.
You can find us at sonicsociety.org or at any of the major directories like the Podcast Pickle or iTunes. Join us, won't you?
And when you come, bring a friend.
Thank you for listening to Ronin's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com. Ronin's Own Radio is a proud member of the Christian New Media Group. You can find more information at cnmg.ronizone.com. And drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Ronizone Radio.